How are they allowed?
Yeah, yeah. Right, please rise, join us in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
One of those land forfeiture bags.
Danielle, please call the roll.
Mayor?
Here.
Porter?
Here.
Canton?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
DeShawn?
Here.
Costello?
Here.
We have minutes from November 28th, council meeting. Does anybody have any corrections, changes at the council meeting? At minutes? If not, we need a motion to move to approve. Second, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, minutes are passed. We have a visitor. Please, give us your name and tell us why you're here today.
My name is Morgan Vegas. I'm the senior NDCL, and we have a local government project, so I have to visit my local government.
Lucky you. They moved into the community 4 weeks ago, moved from Lake in the Woods to Ashley, and she's getting acquainted with us.
Oh, nice.
And she's welcome. She has sisters at Miami, and she's thinking of Miami.
I went to Miami. I love Miami.
Okay, we're off to the mayor's report. I sent out a kind of a lengthy mayor's report to you. A lot of good news in it, some interesting information. Some of it Mike will take care of, some of it Dave and Laura will take care of. Were there any questions about the mayor's report? Can't tell you that we are saving some money. Today, we had the Green Valley Dispatch meeting. We are getting back 20% of the money that we have put in there, which is going to be, as soon as I find that piece of paper, from the Green Valley Dispatch this year, pardon me, in 2017, we'll get $11,000 back. And in 2018, we're getting almost $3,000 back. This comes out of the money that we put in. And since the dispatch is growing, they're giving us money that we, basically it's our startup funds that we put in there.
That's great.
They expect very little expenses for the next few years. The county has really gotten behind them. Basically, the Green Valley Dispatch is just booming, just rolling right along. Any other questions or concerns or comments about mayor's report?
You were going to update us over the meeting with CBFD?
Oh, yes. I had a meeting with the Green Valley Fire Department. We talked about two things. One of them was the proposal with the school and involving the Bainbridge area. And then we talked about the changes that were requested for the contract. They didn't see any issues with the minor changes. And on January the 11th, we'll sit down with them to go over the proposed changes.
Good.
Yeah, everything looks pretty good. There's other changes coming, I think, from other communities. There was an article in the paper of the Hunting Valley Hunting Valley Safety Director, with Mike Cannon. Mike used to be the Pepper Park Police Chief. Now he's in charge of all safety issues for Hunting Valley. And he's concerned with some areas of Hunting Valley and see who can get there. So I think you're going to see this over the next couple of years, really, people looking at, you know, who can get there. Yeah. For example, in Hunting Valley, it's the corner, Hunting Valley goes right to where Gilmore School is.
Right.
Well, Pepper Pike's across the street, but Chagrin serviced in that area. And we've talked about Chagrin with the roller rink. So I think those people are now starting to say, let's look at the big picture. Okay, any other questions? All right, we need to make two ZBA appointments, and basically ZBA, I'm appointing Andy Hitchcock and Terry Brennan, effective January 1st. Laura and I have already met with Andy to get him up to speed. We have three issues already coming to ZBA. I mean, this is not slowing down. stuff going on here. And then we do need council's approval to appoint to the planning commission Bob Brown. Brian, I ask you to make that motion, if you would, to appoint Bob Brown to the planning commission effective 1/9/17.
That's great, I'm happy to see Bob.
So move.
Second.
Can we have discussion? I'm sorry, can you give me a little background on Bob and some other things?
Sure. Bob Brown is a retired businessman. He lives on Waterford Drive. He was here a few years ago, a very supporter of the No Leash. He was here a couple of months ago on the Gadsden, maybe last year, Gadsden Fly. He applied to be placed on council. We interviewed him. We did not select him, but I've kept him in mind that he would make a good citizen to get involved. He's very interested.
His kids grew up here.
Yeah, one of his daughters just got married.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a second.
Former vice president of Bank of America.
Okay.
He's lived in Kensington as long as I can remember. Long-term resident in the village.
All right, we got moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Danielle, we're off to you. Fiscal officer.
I distributed my monthly reports to mayor and council. I'm looking for any questions. And that's all I had, pretty much. Eric will go over a couple of pieces of legislation he needs passed tonight, but I don't have anything else.
Okay. Adam, we're rolling to you.
Wow. All right, thank you. I distributed my monthly report. I have extra copies. If anybody doesn't have one and would like to read along, all you have to do is raise your hand.
Riveting.
Sure. All right. After that.
Much better than Lake in the Woods.
Two-sided, right? I get ring one, right? It's two-sided?
Yeah.
All right. So this is for the month ended November 30th. And on page one, you'll see our fund balances. And I wanted to inform everybody that my fund balances match the fund balances that Danielle provided to the penny all the way across the board. So if you wish to approve the fund balances, I think you do so with confidence. At the bottom, you'll see where our money is. We're right at the $1 million line at the Huntington checking account, and Star Plus is $1.5 million. And I haven't forgotten to update the yield. It's still just 40 basis points.
Trying not to spend it all in one place.
Yeah. Yes. It's the worst part is it's about as high as it's been the last couple of years. If you look at page two, you'll see we started off the year at about 2.5 million. We finished higher though, right? We're around near 2.6 million. So I'm sorry. We actually finished down, I bet. So we actually finished down 65,000 for the month. Not unusual this time of the year, as most of our bigger revenue streams, you know, have already been realized. Although we had a few quarterly items hit in November. So the first you'll see is ambulance fees. We get those four times a year. It's not really a check, it's a credit against our $30,000 per month ambulance bill that you see at the bottom of the page as the second expenditure by fund. So, you know, we just paid 18. Cable franchise fees, right? We get 3% of the cable fees four times a year. So, you know, those came in a little bit under budget for the year, as you'll see. We were expecting a lot more for ambulance fees and just a tad bit more for cable. Sold a cemetery plot and sold one a while, so I thought I'd point that out for Cynthia.
Thank you.
And then we go down to, we actually received a $747 reimbursement from a refund from the Fuel Workers Comp. And then you'll see that the village income tax revenues were pretty good for the month. So we're at 92% on village income tax, and we're 100 than we were. So our big items are there. It's just some of the smaller items aren't there. Oh, and I forgot to mention, We got the majority of our liquor permits for the year in November, so we exceed that budget amount. I don't know if that's exciting news, but it's there. And our expense items, you know, just in line with expectations. So again, we finished $65,000 down from where we started in November. We're still up year-to-date, so we're $132,000 higher than where we started the year. Are there any questions?
I have one there. Actually, it's more. $44,000 in building department fees is from rehabs and design, redesigns and things of that nature. Is that right?
It's contractors registrations, and it's building permit fees and zoning permit fees.
Does any of that money go back to the contractors?
No, this is ours for the registrations. All the construction deposits and everything are separate.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a lot of our checks.
On page one, we have $54,000 in the account, but that's going back to people.
Now, I think there's still some lantern fees in there, right, that are pushing that above?
No, the lantern fees were all in 2014 and 15. So that's all this year from January 1st. We have been using.
I should mention this too. We have done quite well. Chief has really gotten some money from those, the shop for the cop. I mean, I go over there with a whole stack of checks to deposit, so I just think it's a very successful program for Florida. I'll just figure thunder, but I'm noticing it from my end. All right, that's it.
Thank you, Adam. Eric, we're down to you. Worked our way to you. Pardon me.
Yes, sir. First and foremost, I would like council to consider approving a couple of our mandatory stormwater ordinances that we need to pass in order to remain in compliance with the EPA Phase 2 and MS4 stormwater permits. By and large, the language in the ordinances are mostly the same as what we've already got on the books, but in order to remain in compliance with the EPA's new and updated regulations, we needed to change some things. I've been working with Chagrin River Watershed Partners and David to make sure that everything is squared away. And the two ordinances are a comprehensive stormwater management ordinance, which is just an update to the ordinance we've got, and the other is an erosion and sediment control ordinance, which again is just an update to the ordinance that we've got. And I'd like for those to be passed this year, so if we can pass them on an emergency and consider waiving readings, I would greatly appreciate that, because the EPA will breathe down my neck.
Yeah, that was my question. I support these, but we didn't pass these. What can they do?
There's an automatic 30-day grace period, so for 30 days, past the end of the year, they're not going to say anything to me. And then they're going to start writing certified letters saying, hey, you're not in compliance with your MS4 stormwater permit, and it's subject to be revoked or subject for them to take over from us. So as far as like what penalties are involved or what the consequences are if we choose not to update these ordinances and pass them, I don't know exactly.
That. I just was curious.
There's also
the EPA police.
Yeah, there's also a third ordinance that I've been working with Chagrin River Watershed Partners and the solicitor on, and it's the long-awaited riparian setback ordinance, and that's something that I think will be introduced at the next council meeting, because I think we have all the language pretty well squared away. But that's not a required ordinance, and that's not something that needs to be done on an emergency basis. I'm already enforcing a riparian setback. We should probably have an ordinance that complies with what I'm asking developers to do already. But that'll be forthcoming. I kind of wanted to have all three of them ready, but it didn't work out that way.
Mark, so, can I ask you, I haven't seen these. Can I ask you to kind of zone out and take a look at those while the meeting goes on? I think they're probably standard. but just plumbing utilities.
Is that the 54-page one?
It is. There's one's like 30 pages and the other.
That was the other one, okay.
Yeah, they're.
So the short one wasn't there?
The riparian setback one is not there, and that's the short one.
If you could.
I'd be glad to.
Job of public utilities, okay. Eric? Other issue?
And other than that, I at long last distributed a comprehensive list of roadway PCI ratings and cost estimates to Streets Committee. I had been asked to develop a 5-year look ahead for the road programs moving forward. And I think I've got enough information to Streets Committee now that we can start kind of piecing together from my estimate list what we'd like to include in upcoming road programs. And I look forward to having a more detailed discussion on that at our next Streets Committee meeting.
Questions are ready to hear. Thank you, Eric. Moving along, we are with the building inspector, Laura.
I submitted my monthly report to Mayor and Council. I don't know if there's any questions.
How about we'll have, Ryan will knock off the planning commission, the two new businesses, okay?
Can we do it now?
No.
Okay.
Come to it, okay.
Laura, I'm not sure this is.
Heads up.
Mayor, I'm not sure it's Laura, but you had mentioned your account in your minutes too, or your report. The light for the corner?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, like for dry, the dry business?
Dry insurance.
Dry insurance, is that, it's like if you're leaning a 747, that's a really bright light.
Nice, isn't it?
It's really, really bright.
Yes.
Was that a?
I'm just, I'm not sure, again.
Was it ZBA approved?
No, ABR.
Pardon, ABR.
I'm sorry. It was, I did, as we do with all the signs in the village, we send it to ABR for approval. And it's an interior, you know, illuminated sign. If you look at the sign across the street, or you look at the daycare center down the road, they all have these signs that are illuminated from the inside. And I think it's because that one is so new, and they probably put LEDs in there, and it made it really, really bright.
Well, I don't mind, frankly, yeah.
It's that size, the house.
The sign, yeah, the sign doesn't bother.
Yeah, it's the house.
It's the house, it's lit up like a Roman candle.
Yes, that's the part that.
Both bother me. I mean, it's like, you get blinded when you drive by that building and sign at night. And, you know, Laura told me that ABR had approved the sign. I was kind of surprised, because it's very much brighter than any other place around.
And the lighting in the house, you're right.
And, yeah, not the sign. They used to have two spots on the house. Is there just one now?
Well, no, these are really big spots.
Oh, they are. There were two.
First night, it was like.
I mean, it was.
Yeah, it was the first night.
Every nuclear power plant had to flip another switch.
If I may add here, I received an email today from a constituent who's very concerned about the building. That would be what, the northeast side of the corner over here. And I just mentioned to him that I would bring it up, you know, council. But Chief, does your office promote the illumination of businesses after hours for safety reasons?
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that, it is very bright. I think the issue with the sign is that it is so new, but you can look at Ann's Daycare, they've got an illuminated sign, but it's so old, it's yellow. So you're seeing a big contrast between Ann's Daycare and that new sign. I think after time, it will probably, the illumination will probably deteriorate a little bit. But as far as the other side, the light on the house, I can't really speak to that. But
so what, when I emailed this constituent, what do I say?
We, frankly, Laura, Laura and I have talked about this since Friday morning. It went up Thursday night.
After the lighting?
Friday morning, yeah.
So it was a ceremony.
What we can do, legally, and we've already gone through David on this, you know, Dick can do, you know, they did everything legal. He's probably asked, as a good neighbor, can you tone it down a little bit? Because like Mark said, there used to be two of those spots on that house. The house looks terrific at night with those lights on it. I mean, it's better than dust in the day.
Well, I mean, and then tell us not a residence, because if you were a residence in there, you couldn't tell us that.
Can you imagine opening your front door?
So will that business be approached?
Yes, that's why I wanted to hear tonight, because I just want to go and say, hey, would you consider, is there something you can do? There may be a chance that they can do something, but it's not like when you take out a fluorescent, a bulb or something and just reduce the illumination.
Put it on the dimmer.
Gerald and I talked, I had one complaint about the gas line, and I think seven about the corner lot, the light there. So anyhow, we'll ask them and see, you know, good neighbors, what they can do. And that's probably the best way to handle it at this point.
I would note there, that house is lit up and the signs look way more than the Bell Station. And if there is a likely victim of crime on a night-to-night basis, it's the Bell Station, not the house.
You had nowhere to run, right?
It's,
They run across the street.
Yeah, don't go across the street.
It showed up on the fish show.
Well, I mean, what's interesting though is that when we approved the lighting for the gas station, it was specified that it all be downlighting so it didn't interfere with the neighborhood. And the way that lighting is put up, it's not downlighting, it's everywhere. So it's quite the dichotomy.
It's something that, I don't want to say slip by us, but it may have slipped by us.
Well, they were, we can look at that sign, right?
Mayor, as a practical matter, does council have any review authority over an ADR decision like that?
If the applicant decided to appeal the decision of ADR, they would go to zoning board of appeals. But that sign was approved by ADR, so they have no reason to come back and say anything. However, I have met the new owner of that property, and he seems pretty reasonable. And I think if we were to approach him and ask as good neighbors, maybe he would tone it down.
Yeah.
Was lighting of the house part of the application or just the sign?
Just the sign, because the insurance company is zoned for offices and businesses like that, so they never had to come to planning commission for any kind of approval. It fit right into the zoning. They were approved right away.
Which kind of Brian was saying about the gas station, that looked at downlighting and this is uplighting. It just seems like there's the potential that we could have an opportunity. Hopefully, the neighbor deals with lighting the house. But that's something we need to.
We'll ask.
Now, let me ask, whose responsibility will be to talk with that individual?
I'm going over there. I just want to hear what you people have to say. We expected this town for about 10 days now.
All right.
Thank you.
Laura, anything else?
No, that's all.
All right. Moving along. Chief.
Yes, sir. In addition to my month-end report, just a couple topics. We are obtaining some quotes for our cruiser right now. We're looking at a grant to see if we can qualify for a grant. We're looking on that.
Is it a cruiser or is it the SUV?
Yeah, same. Yeah. SUV. Same as what we have.
Yeah.
So that's on the back burner right now. The phone system project, we're slated to install the PRI sometime next week. So once the PRI is installed, we should start looking at the scheduling and installation time. We're hoping by the end of the year, everything's on track.
Chief, what's PRI?
Primary rate interface. It's basically the internet connection that's going to provide our phone and data. I learned a lot of acronyms in this project. So that's, like I said, the week of the 18th, we should see the PRI, and then after that, we should see the equipment. Everything's been ordered. I think Danielle issued a check for 50% of the equipment cost to Warwick Communications, so we're on track for that. We had Shop of the Cop this past Saturday. It was a pretty big success. As Adam mentioned, this was the biggest fundraiser we've had since we've been doing it. So on December 6th, I cut off the donation train, and we ended up with $3,700. After we cut the donation train off, additional $550 came in, and we received a Walmart grant for $1,500. So we're going to take those checks and put it toward next year's program. So we did really well.
Nice.
So we actually were able to take or to provide services for 15 kids from 7 different families. So record-breaking year. It was wonderful. And thanks to Cindy for assisting us with the gift wrapping portion of the program. Cindy helped.
I didn't quite do 45 packages in 70 minutes like last year, but I just want to say kudos to the chief. It was so organized, and I had an opportunity to talk to a couple of the parents. And it's very uplifting to hear how special the parents feel and the kids when they have this wonderful opportunity. You just blew it out of the water. It was awesome.
Thank you. It really makes their day. It really helps them through the holidays.
Yep.
So it's a very great program, and I hope we can continue to do what we're doing. It's a great program. Thank you very much for your support. And that's all I have, unless anyone has any questions on my report.
John Oliver's the pay?
Yes. Panini's had a fundraiser Friday after our event from 1 p.m. to about 11 p.m. So the management staff put together a program called Tips for Zips for the Zippays. All the tips that they made during the course of the day went into the kitty. They also had a Chinese auction and kind of raffled away about 30 baskets that were donated by their sponsors. And they made $2,000 and turned that over to the Zippays on Friday night. So a very nice event put on by Panini's. Did a great job.
John Oliver Zippay is the 3-year-old son of our police officers. He has leukemia. So we've been doing fundraisers and different activities. So it's been more than overwhelming, the response.
Yeah, the support from the community. I mean, every day something comes in through the mail or a gift shows up at the front door, and toys in the form of gift cards and whatnot. So
how's he doing?
He's doing okay. They are right now on a schedule of once a week for the next 5 months. And then once a month for the next 2 to 3 years after that. So hopeful that he goes into remission and can survive.
You know, Bob Hunt's son, I mean, he's home now, so yeah. And, you know, there's hope.
Yeah, and you know, fortunately, it's the type that is treatable and, you know, usually good results.
So that no shave November went well. I noticed everybody's clean shaven.
Yes.
So
it was a little itchy after about the third week, but. Yeah, all of our guys participated. A lot of police departments in our area, Kirtland, Chardon, all over the place. And actually, Bainbridge was doing it for Bob Hunt's son in November. They extended theirs into December, so they still have beards, and they're now doing it for John and his family for December. So the departments all around us, most of them are now clean shaved. And we've put it behind us at this point.
You want to talk about that ballet enforcement group? I didn't want to catch you off guard. There will be, they did something smart. Chief will explain, hopefully.
So, reference to the drones?
Yes.
So, what we have as part of our assets, we have a vehicle, a communications vehicle called ERB. It's the Emergency Response Vehicle. And that vehicle responds to different types of call-outs with some of our specialized units. Like if there's a SWAT team call-out, it's an automatic. If there's a CART team call-out, that vehicle automatically goes. A dispatcher runs out with that vehicle, and that becomes our communication center so that we don't tie up the assets at Sheepman Valley Dispatch. So we have our own, basically, localized dispatch center. We do a lot of, we use that as our staging vehicle as well sometimes. So, with some grant monies and whatnot, we had obtained a couple of drones, unmanned aerial vehicles. And
I thought it's a urban assault vehicle.
These drones, we obtained a couple of them through dispatch, and then Orange Village bought one. That vehicle, IRV, is stationed at Orange Village, so they purchased one. So what the chiefs decided to do is actually try to formulate a unit, a special unit. Instead of carrying them on board IRV, we would have an aerial unit. So now you have a SWAT team, a negotiations team, an accident investigation team, a CART team, and now we've got an aviation unit. So that aviation unit will be deployed in the event there's an emergency, again, where overhead view, cameras, you know, we'll have standard cameras, we'll have infrared cameras. It also will eventually be equipped with a hazmat sniffer. So in case there's a tanker rollover somewhere, we can fly a drone in, drop it into the cloud, so to speak, and it can pick up what the tanker truck would be carrying.
Amazing.
Instead of risking somebody getting close enough to the vehicle to read the hazmat label. So there are a lot of great uses for it. Someone used it recently for a suicidal male that went into the woods, and some shots went off, and they sent the drone up just to try to secure the perimeter to make sure it was safe for officers to go in. It's being used more and more, and now we'll have a specialized unit for it.
Probably the neatest thing, not the neatest thing, but one of the things to think about, to do this, they went to all the other groups in the Valley Enforcement Group, all the
specialty teams.
Special routines, you know, the tacticals, the hostage, and said, you're cutting your budget by 20% to pay for this. And they,
I like that approach.
They just said, everybody had to kick in. Now, they will tell us in 2018.
Everybody's budget's going up by 20%.
Our membership from 7,000 has gone up to 8,000. It hasn't gone up since 2009. So they cut their own budgets first, which I liked. Then they're coming up.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Well, it is, and I look at it as that's a big insurance policy for us, because if we need an accident investigation unit, we have it. For any one of our departments to formulate a SWAT team would be astronomical. So this $7,000 or $8,000 per year that we pay is a really good deal for the specialized teams that we get. And we've utilized them here, so it's a really good resource for us.
I grabbed a couple of packets. I thought the two of you can just see how they operate. And it's really a very well-run organization, and the pressure's on us because the chief's in charge next year.
Could the drone hover over the turkey trot and catch Adam, you know, sprinting away from the pack?
Certainly could.
You know, I mean, there's...
We actually had one of the drones here at our open house, and they were doing some demonstrations with it. So to operate these drones, you have to have a pilot and a spotter, someone that operates the camera. So there's specialized training and whatnot. So a lot of our firemen and some of our police officers in our veg communities are already trained. So basically, it's just a matter of getting a unit up and running. So what's going to happen to finish up on the drones? Dispatch will transfer all of the assets to the drone unit at no cost. I think there's a cost for one. We have to reimburse Orange Village for the one that they purchased. So
how long can it hover?
45 minutes.
Oh.
So the idea behind having multiple drones is that once one comes in for a battery replacement, you got to do some service to it.
Right.
Once one comes in, the other one's ready to lift off. So you're really out of here only for seconds instead of for several minutes.
Just keep Trevor Bauer away from this.
Yeah, that would hurt.
This will be a good transition. Any questions over police chief? All right, Darryl, we're going to transition to you. Just to let you know, Chagrin Valley Dispatch, I found out this meeting this afternoon, they normally handle 750 calls per hour. Friday night during the snowstorm, they were averaging 1,500 calls per hour.
It was bad.
And now we have our street commissioner. You're on.
Thank you, Mayor. I turned in my month-end reports. We got finally through with the property fall cleanup. We got some of the holiday decorations up, and we jumped right into winter. Two points that I wanted to bring up, and these are one's current and one's past in that. Going back to the Dominion gas line upgrade project out here on the Pell. If you recall in that, they had a issue out here at 1360 Bell in that where they were going to be digging in our berm. We were afraid of losing our road. We were talking about doing a ditch enclosure. We thought they were going to do it, and what they were actually going to do is bill us $31,000 to do it. So through their crews, Dominion, I was able to negotiate with them and price out a cost to do the ditch enclosure, which included approximately 340 feet of pipe, two inline inlets, two precast inlets with grates and risers, and some limestone backfill and that. I had negotiated a price with them for $6,500. I was able to, we were able to complete that job. I've invoiced Dominion, and their final cost is $6,472. So hopefully that will alleviate a safety issue out there because of the deep ditch that was there. It'll alleviate any failures from their gas line installation of our roadways, and just an easier maintenance problem than that during the summer maintenance of mowing. So hopefully, I asked them to submit the reimbursement check to Danielle ASAP. So hopefully that'll be coming in before the end of the year. Also, going back to 2014, when we did a restoration of a storm sewer over at 57 Fairfax in Kensington. It was a storm sewer coming from a house that basically was never connected to the storm sewer, and we had to do some investigation work, found out that it was not connected, and we connected it. But in the process of connecting it, we damaged a First Energy power line over there. There was some cost to them coming out to temporarily isolate the area, reroute the power, and then eventually come back and do the repairs to the cables after we were done. They had invoiced me originally almost $4,000 for that repair, $3,954. And so I contacted them and talked to them about, could you give me some itemized billing in that, time out here, labor, equipment, materials used in that, and she was able to do that. But a lot of it did not match up to my record keeping. So I supplied that all back to them, and they reviewed it, and they have come back with cutting that bill in half. So we would like to get this off of the books, so I've asked Danielle to include this on the bills list tonight, which was not on the list, for $1,965.71 to resolve that problem that we had with First Energy from 2014.
Great work. It's a little scary that your records are better than me. I don't doubt it. You keep incredible records.
Other than that, I think we'll continue to deal with the wind issues as they have come along.
So the cancel notice on there, you did that in?
I didn't file early enough for that.
Yeah.
Laura, I'm just putting on the spot. The elderly lady, can you comment about the elderly lady and the gas line?
We have a resident pretty far out east on Bell, but in that area where Dominion was working. And she was concerned when she first got a letter that Dominion was going to be working along the road there, that her driveway, which happens to be gravel and goes up to Bell Road, there was going to be an issue. And she was also concerned because she has hurt herself somehow. I don't know if she fell or what, but she has a lot of doctor's appointments, and she was very concerned about delays getting out and even being able to get to her doctor's appointments timely and so on. And so I just reassured her, because I was at the meeting with Eric and Daryl and everybody at the beginning of the project, and said, you know, let's wait and see how this goes. So she called and left a voicemail for me late last week, because she wanted somebody to know how very pleased she was that she only had to wait maybe 2 minutes to get out of her driveway at the most. Dominion cleaned up the roads, so there was no mud on them at the end of the day, ever. The workers were very polite to her, and she really wanted someone to know.
That's great. They also, Daryl had to do that ditch, allowed us to use area-wide protection services, so we didn't have to have one of our guys standing out trying to direct traffic. It's been a great coordination job that Daryl's been able to pull off. It's been very well. Any questions to Daryl? Okay, David had foot surgery last week, and the doctor says you are not going out, especially on crutches in the snow, so he's not here tonight. So Danielle, you take us to the committees.
Mayor?
Nothing.
Porter?
Yes, public utilities. I spoke with resident Ralph Richards about electric supply and NOPEC and the various rates that are out there for the supply of electricity to the village itself, meaning the village campus, as well as to the residents. And hearing that discussed it as well, we recommend that the village continue with NOPEC, that we do not opt out, and that we take advantage of the NOPEC rates that were mentioned at the last council meeting, and continue to use NOPEC as our electric supplier for both, and our gas supplier as well. And if the village doesn't do anything, that's what will happen. So in this rare instance, we recommend the village do nothing.
Thank you.
Is that all you have, Mark?
There is the USGS well monitoring contract that I think might fall under public utilities. Sure, why not? Because I guess water is a utility. I think we would like to do that deal with USGS because monitoring well water, at least for the next year, because of the lantern, make sure everything's all right with the water table. So based on that, it's I think $6,600, Daniel.
Yep.
We recommend that council approve that expenditure and go forward with the well watering monitoring. Should I move the motion?
I think we need we'll do it. It's under new business.
Okay.
I want to give you a heads up. Joan Demersion is looking into this, so she may be calling you to get your opinion on water issues too.
I tell her I'm going to put the Gaston flag over the well.
She'll spell your name correctly.
I hope she does. Yeah, it's only six letters.
Is that it, Mark?
Yes, and that would be hard to follow up on, I think.
No, Mark, you can follow up. Are you in mourning over Navy?
Well, yes, yes. I mean, both teams tried to give the game away.
Yeah, they did.
Eventually, Navy succeeded.
<It's natural. laughs> He's a Naval Academy graduate.
And I'm going to hear it from the Army guys.
Yeah, 14 years, they were due.
Well, we let them win once in a while. Otherwise, it's not a rivalry.
Oh, wow.
All right, Daniel.
That's a no name.
Somebody else talking.
Canton.
Nothing.
Carol.
I sent you guys all copies and the suggested updates. The fire EMS contract sounds like that went fairly well, according to the mayor. So, assuming that those go in, I think that's a really good move on the Chagrin's part, actually. It was actually very, very good, very enlightening. So, I have to send Assistant Chief Vetter a follow up email trying to get the formula that they use because I think it's important that we understand that and to meet on a few other things. Did talk to Nick DeSico. I think I may have emailed you guys that also. They're working at CBD to have the ability to page out Bainbridge and Russell. So that's a good step. There'll be no cost to the village for that. CBD felt it was important. And even the fire department felt that if there was any kind of cost, that they would bear that cost because it benefits them and they recognize that using Bainbridge and Russell is beneficial. So, other than that, from a committee standpoint, that is it as of now.
I'm going to jump in just for a second, Danielle, on CBD. They just announced their health care is going up 3%. They joined COSI, and that the rates will just be 3% for their health program. That was this afternoon. Okay.
Chief. Sean.
Nothing good.
Kister.
I just have a couple of things. Finance Committee met on December 9th. We're going through the property acquisition that we did in 2015. We're trying to determine whether it makes sense right now to get it tax exempt because it right now has the agricultural credit to it. And there was an issue of if we get it tax exempt immediately, then the county can recapture the credit. So we're looking into that because right now a half year is like $2,097 and the agricultural credit is $1,100, so we would have to make up the difference. But if we keep it for 3 years, we may not have to make up the difference at all. We just, we
we just get tax exempt after that. So we might have to pay taxes for 3 years and save ourselves $3,000 as opposed to keep up with, or get a tax exempt and then make up the years. So we're looking into that. The other thing that we're still working on is the tracking of payments, you know, an amount that a department head can pay without having to come to council. So we're still working through that and talking to David. I think that was it with finance. And since we're talking about finance, I would just move to approve or certify the balance between the fiscal officer and fiscal auditor.
Have a second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
All right, good. We have a streets committee meeting coming up on January 6th, and we're going to discuss the PCI report, and we'll come to council with our recommendations between here in the next 5 years. Unfortunately, as everyone knows, we have more roads than money. So, and looking at the cost of this, it looks like there's a lot more cost than we have money. So until we start planting money trees, we're going to have to kind of make some hard decisions. Mm-hmm. Moving on to Planning Commission, it was a banner night the other night. We got two new companies that want to move into South Russell. The Tame Rabbit, which is a coffee shop specializing in, did I get this right, Ethiopian coffee beans?
Exotic, we'll call it.
Okay, we'll go with exotic, but I thought he said Ethiopian beans. He said there is not a competitive, this is not a competitive market. They said Starbucks doesn't count because they burn their beans. I don't know what that means. But in any event.
Sounds ominous.
In any event, he, very interesting gentleman. Apparently he was in computer programming and had no experience in coffee before, but he retired from Google apparently very profitably, and he is young. He says, so I can't retire. So his wife, himself, and his daughter went to Seattle and became certified baristas and coffee roasters. So they're coming here to open the Tame Rabbit right over off of Washington, over next to Burtwood. So we will have a new coffee shop in town. It's the Galleria building.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Where the wine bar is.
Yeah.
No, inside.
Yeah.
And then, I think this was my favorite. We have four gentlemen who want to open a brewery here in South Russell in the building behind, in the back.
Really?
Yes. The old Mill Bar property. And it will have a 100-seat tap room. They will not have a menu unless you want to bring your own food in, which you're allowed to do.
Bring your own food?
Yes.
Well, that's a switch.
It's BYOS.
You know, is this a franchise or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because there's one similar business.
You guys know Steve Miller? He is a
yes.
DC?
Yeah.
Apparently, Steve used to be the brewmaster at Rock Bottom Brewery in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then he went over to Crooked River, and then he got into insurance or something. So, I'm not sure how that works, but he's going back to brewing beer. And so they're looking at opening a brewery, and they said from approval through permits and things, they should be open within 9 months or so.
That's awesome.
So it's very exciting. They're talking about eight different types of beer, and you've got a very excited group of people. They, what did they say, how many on staff, 15? Total.
That's awesome.
I don't recall. I do know it's the business plan, which is 30 pages long.
Yeah.
The clinic building on Washington
because
Street.
Because the size of the equipment.
We got parking back there.
They've got 200 parking spots.
Yeah, I mean that's.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it should be a hoot once it gets going. That's awesome. But
I think it'll label it
you know, brewed in South Russell, or are they getting the same Chagrin Falls thing?
It's going to be called the Urban Brewing Company.
Interurban.
Interurban?
Oh, really?
Cool.
Well, now it's working its way.
It should be.
We'll have to move the railroad tracks down there.
East Washington Street was the railroad track.
Yeah, right, no, that's right, yeah, that's right.
Did you say it's four people putting this together?
Well, there were four main people that were here. They have some private investors and things that are.
But are any of the four residents here?
I think several of them are, yeah.
Oh, great, well, they need to have their logo be the railroad tracks or something to draw the history in.
I think Brian knew them all, so.
I knew two out of four.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
God, that's really cool.
It's pretty exciting, so hopefully 9 months from now, after hopefully a short council meeting, we can go there and enjoy it.
It'll be in summer.
So.
I think we should move the council.
Our next Christmas party could be there.
Yeah.
There you go.
We need to immerse ourselves in one of the businesses and really understand what it's all about.
All right, so with that, I think that was everything. Am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
Nope, we're good?
No. That's all, please.
Okay, we are at ordinances, resolutions. Mike, your third reading?
Yes.
About the fire protection and emergency medical, okay?
Yes, third reading of the ordinance authorizing the mayor and fiscal officer entering a fire protection emergency medical services agreement with Chagrin Falls Volunteer Firemen's Association for a period of 3 years from January 1st, 2017 to December 31st, 2019, with a sum of $315,538.19 for 2017, with a 2% increase for 2018 and a 2% increase, bless you, for 2019, and declaring an emergency. It didn't say bless you in there.
That was the third reading. Is there a motion to?
Motion to.
Adopt.
Adopt.
Second.
Can we do discussion real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I'm glad that Chagrin is able to meet with us, and it sounds like Mayor had a good meeting with them, which is very positive. I mean, that's the first time I think we've really tried to, you know, really sit down and try to look at some of these things, and I'm glad that they were accommodating. The one thing I do want to point out is, you know, they do have an advisory committee, and hopefully they do try to meet more. We have a council of governments for an $8,000 a year contract for the veg group. We have a council of governments for a $60,000 a year dispatch group. We still don't have a council of governments for our $360,000 contract for firing U.S. protection. So hopefully the advisory committee of the mayor can get that going, rolling. That will kind of serve as a quasi-council of governments, but it's, you know, it's at least something that I think hopefully we start taking advantage of moving forward, so.
Should not be a problem. Okay. Any other questions, comments? All right, Danielle.
So we have a first and second. Mayor, the motion, this is to adopt the fire and ambulance.
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
Canton?
Yes.
Carroll?
Yes.
Michonne?
Yes.
Castaro?
Yes.
Okay. Mark, are you ready with this, the stormwater ordinances?
Sure. I'd like to introduce an ordinance amending chapter 1486, styled Comprehensive Stormwater Management, chapter 1466, Erosion and Sediment Control, the codified ordinances of the Village of South Russell, and declaring an emergency. Move to waive readings.
We have a second.
Second.
All of up. Danielle?
Mayor?
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
Canton?
Yes.
Carroll?
Yes.
Michonne?
Yes.
Castaro?
Yes.
Do we have any discussion?
Move to adopt.
Okay. We have a second.
Second.
Mayor?
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
Canton?
Yes.
Carroll?
Yes.
Michonne?
Yes.
Castaro?
Yes.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
All right. We're down to parking. This is coming through Chief, so.
So parking, no parking ordinance.
Cindy?
Cindy, brought it up.
Okay.
I'd like to introduce an ordinance amending section 45211B of the codified ordinances of the Village of South Russell by changing the fine for parking in a no parking posted area from $5 to $25.
This would be the first reading.
Okay.
And, okay, we're good for that.
Mm-hmm.
We are now moving on to the bills list, right?
No.
I have the new total because the you guys have the bills list in front of you for $13,960.85, and then we want to add that bill that Daryl spoke about for $1,965.71 for First Energy, so the total is $15,926.56.
I move to approve the bills list in the amount of $15,926.56.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Bills are passed. New other, Mark, we'll come back to you, the USGS agreement.
Should we do that now?
Yes, we're ready for new other, right, Danielle?
I'd like to introduce a motion authorizing the mayor and fiscal officer to enter an agreement with the U.S. Department of the Interior, the U.S. Geological Service, for well monitoring for the village of South Russell. Our share would be at a cost of $6,600. So moved.
Second. Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Okay, it passes. I did speak to Martha about the late notice. And she said, you know, they just had some things going on in their office. So we're good. I would like...
New other? Okay,
Nairn? Yes, I can't put it off anymore. I'm going to have shoulder surgery next month, probably the second half of January. And I'm going to miss you guys. And I'm going to try to get in here as fast as I can from the surgery, so.
Get well soon.
Thanks.
Porter, new other?
Nothing.
Canton?
Nothing.
Carol?
Just two quick things. Thank you to the police department chief, having Officer Kramer deliver Santa out of the lake on Saturday. I do appreciate it, you're real busy that day, but thank you very much. I know the kids loved it. And then lastly, as a quick question there on your mayor's report, are we just looking at changing the way the minutes are done, or are we differently decide?
No, we're going to try it. I think for 6 months, I have the Moreland Hills, and let you see what other people are doing. We seem to spend a lot of time compiling those minutes, and you know, we have a tape, so if anybody ever wants to see them, it's hard to hear them.
Well, I would like to post the audio then online, because I know some communities post online, will be those posted online, because if we're going to cut it down, because I think there's value to the minutes. I think that at least it gives an opportunity for a resident or us or anybody else to at least listen to the full audio, to get the full tape on what was discussed.
I think that's better, actually. Yeah. John, I think you're right. I think it's better that they could hear it.
Yeah, because you know, then you get a context of right. What you can't get. Yeah.
So the minutes can be, if the minutes are short, but if, for me, it's got to be, for do one, we have to be there.
Yeah, or I would agree with that.
And Mike, I got a request from a resident a while back about my report being online. So what I did was I also now take my month-end report summary, and I also have that on our website. So if you go to the police department page, you can actually see the last 3 months of our summary. So it's kind of good. It's a good idea. People seem to like that internet option.
Transparency is good.
Okay. Anything?
That's all. I'm sorry. That's it.
Deshaun?
Just real quick. Yeah, I sent that picture out from the Navy game. The guy, you know, the flag, you know. And I mean, I saw that, and it warmed my heart, number one. Number two, because, I mean, it is wildly popular in the military community, and especially with the Navy. And, you know, in this whole discussion, I think that got kind of washed over that, boy, that's not really true. And to me, that proved it, you know. But also, we did talk in a couple of our sessions about how the fact that, you know, this can get carried away to the point that the American flag becomes the thing that, you know, if what happens when people are protesting the American flag and they won't fly the American flag? And we got, you know, stickers almost, and all that's ridiculous. And I'm sure a number of you probably saw, I think it's Hampshire University in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. literally won't fly the American flag now because after the election, and you know, there were so many people upset. And so that's just another point that we cannot let these things get to such a ridiculous state where you can't fly a flag that's been flown for 240 years because some fringe group, you know, has appropriated. Now apparently that ruins it for everybody, because the same thing can happen to any flag, including the American flag.
Was it the Jack, or was that the Gaston? I know it was red and white with the gloves.
Don't tread on me. I mean,
it's the first jacket that has the red and white striped background.
The
official first jack.
The historical one, because the one I knew was a blue flag with white stars, 50 of them. And that one is a historical jacket they resurrected
after 9/11.
Right.
Which I think is great.
Yeah, so, I mean, it made the point that, and I think we've all agreed, that there are a number of historical flags, and we shouldn't just focus on one. I totally agree with that. But I think we just need to not let, you know, get carried away, because we can see how it can get carried to an extreme, even with the American flag.
No, you're right.
That's all I have to say.
And Chris, you're on the other.
No.
That's everything.
John, if you could, motion to go into executive session, about 15 minutes, guys.
Sure.
For what?
Land acquisition.
Okay, so moved.
Second. Mayor, can we add personnel as well to that? We're gonna do that?
Yes, Danielle.
Personnel what? Compensation?
Yes.
Thank you. Maren?
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
Canton?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
DeShawn?
Yes.
Kestra?
Yes.
Thank you.
We're on.
We're coming out of executive session at 8:50. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Second.
All those in, oh, no.
Maren, yes.
Yes.
Canton? Kestra?
Yes.
DeShawn?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Porter?
Yes.
We're adjourned.
Adjourned.